Here's the other side of that AIG story, angry letter to follow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiatakis. Today's New York Times carries a bitter letter of resignation from one of those AIG executives who've been taking heat for taking big bonuses. Jake DeSantis is a VP of the company's financial products unit, and he complains that he and most of his division were in no way responsible for the transactions that brought the company down. In fact, he points out he spent long hours away from his family, agreed to an annual salary of $1, and has worked hard to dismantle the company, which he says is crucial to repaying the American taxpayer. He also argues that neither he nor his colleagues should be cheated out of agreed-to payments, in his words, any more than a plumber should be cheated after he has fixed the pipes, but a careless electrician causes a fire that burns down the house. Still, he says he plans to give away any bonus money he receives to organizations helping those suffering from the economic downturn. We'll post a link to the New York Times article on our website, marketplace.org. There's word this morning that mortgage applications jumped last week. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports record low interest rates spurred a 32% surge in demand for home refinancing loans. The association predicts refinancings will more than double this year to the tune of nearly $2 trillion. As Amanda Aronchek reports, that means lots and lots of processing fees from lenders.
Back in the pre-subprime days, your broker might have offered you a competitive mortgage rate and low, low fees. But now refinancing is in such high demand, there's less incentive to lower those fees. Jay Brinkman is chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association. He says higher fees are good news for banks.
They make money on the volume of loans that they push through, so it should be a pretty good year then for large institutions like J.P. Morgan Chase and Citi and Bank of America.
Fees vary from bank to bank. So how do you know if you're getting a good deal?
The important thing is for a consumer to ask, what are those fees going to be? What are you going to charge me at closing? And so they can get a full apples-to-apples comparison.
But these days, homeowners may have a tough time getting quick refinancing. Demand is so high, banks are slow to process all requests. Still, Brinkman says, don't panic. Interest rates should stay low for a good long time. I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
Well, the euphoria that began the week seems to be over. Stocks in Britain, Germany, and France are down modestly at this hour. Japan's Nikkei also closed down a tenth of 1%. Some numbers out of Japan today are even worse. Japanese exports have fallen off by almost half. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from the Asian desk. Scott, if you're a Japanese business that depends on exports, this news has got to take your breath away, huh?
I'm looking, Bob, at a chart of Japanese exports over the last year, and all I can think of is when you're at the top of the roller coaster and it starts by creeping down, and then suddenly, whoosh, you know, it starts to go in free fall and everybody's screaming. And right now, everybody's screaming, down 49% year over year. I mean, in many ways, Japan is doing worse than the U.S. is right now, Bob.
Wow. Well, when you talk about the U.S., Japan depends a lot on exports. How much of this is the American consumer?
It's the American consumer, but as you look at the numbers, it's also the consumers in the EU and consumers in China. All of them are just falling off the table right now. And before this global recession hit, Japan and China and many of the Asian countries were more and more reliant to consumers overseas compared to consumers at home. So when soccer moms and dads in the U.S. and Europe stopped buying, they took everybody down with them.
Well, the obvious question for those of us here is the Japanese auto industry. Is the news as bad there?
It is as bad as it is anywhere. Of Japanese exports, autos are two-fifths of their export market. In the last few days, Toyota, Nissan, Honda all came out and all said that their production shrank by about half compared to last year. So it goes from bad to worse out here.
The not-so-bright news from the land of the rising sun. Marketplace's Scott Tong from our Asian desk. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Details of the new climate bill are emerging from Washington this week, and Congress is examining the implications of legislation designed to restrict carbon gas emissions. But we can't fight the battle against global warming alone. How do we get other countries to do likewise? Commentator Will Wilkinson observes, we may already be off to a bad start.
Last week, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said the U.S. should be open to slapping tariffs on imports from countries that fail to implement their own carbon reduction policies. Meanwhile, China has threatened trade war if faced with carbon duties, which it says are illegal under World Trade Organization agreements. Trade restrictions tend to leave all involved poorer, making trade war a frightening prospect during an already immiserating recession. So how did we come to have the energy secretary provoking threats of mutually destructive trade sanctions? Here's how. Either all the big, carbon-intensive economies reduce their emissions, or there's little chance of reducing warming. If the climate modelers are right, we'll all be better off if everyone pitches in. But each has an incentive to hold out, since countries that don't pitch in will enjoy lower energy costs and a competitive advantage in international markets. Chu rightly points out that Obama's proposed cap-and-trade scheme will put American manufacturers at a relative disadvantage. So how do we avoid this and make sure countries like China don't get a leg up? In short, we can't. There is no mechanism, no global government to compel compliance. And it's dangerously naive to think that China, who is the world's largest owner of dollar-denominated assets, is in a weaker bargaining position than the U.S. We poke the dragon at our peril. Cap and trade is sure to raise costs for struggling American consumers, but it won't much reduce warming unless countries like China and India fall in line. Yet neither the U.S. nor Europe can just force this to happen. If we try by imposing carbon duties, we'll hurt consumers even more by raising the cost of imports and possibly start a trade war no one will win. Chu's remarks highlight the fact that cap and trade is a costly, risky gambit. But now is not the time. Suffering workers and consumers can't afford to lose again.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute, and I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Let us know what you think at marketplace.org. And we thank you for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.